Heavenly Father, we do want to thank you for all your goodness to us this morning. Thank you that we can gather together in comfort and security. Thank you that we can gather together and hear a word from you, a word that tells us about the kind of God that you are and how you would have us live as your people. Father, we pray this morning that you might help us to see the richness of your word and that it might grow in us a real desire to follow the Lord Jesus. And Father, we pray that you might help us to see him better this morning as well. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now seek God's kingdom in heaven instead of treasures on earth, and you won't have to worry. Let me tell you again. Seek God's kingdom in heaven instead of treasures on earth, and you won't have to worry. Did you know that in the last 6 months here in central Queensland, three people have won the lotto? Back in June, one guy won $339,000 in First Division prize money. He said, "I've been through some tough times, but this win is a bright light at the end of the tunnel. It means peace of mind, and I'll be able to go on a big holiday down the track as well." The other week, a pensioner from Blackall and a mystery shopper from Allenstown each won $823,000. The pensioner says now he's able to buy a carton of beer and have a wild party. Just Monday night, Sarah and I were sitting down watching TV and the Gold Lotto ad came on. "Wouldn't it be nice?" they asked. And I turned to Sarah and I said, "It would be, wouldn't it?" And who hasn't imagined what they'd do with that kind of money? What would you do? Would you buy a new car? Maybe renovate the house or build your dream home? Let me tell you, I've just spent the weekend working on my deck, and if I won the lotto, I'd be paying someone to do it instead of me. Maybe you'd go on a long holiday or quit your job early. Maybe buy a bigger TV, give some away to your friends, top up your superannuation, make sure that your retirement is going to be comfortable. Maybe you just put some aside for a rainy day. Has anyone invested in the latest iPhone 7? No? Surely you wouldn't put your lotto winnings into investing in a Samsung Galaxy Note 7, would you? Now, do you share the desire for some extra money? Don't we all want more and more stuff? And we spend our entire working lives working hard day after day to make enough money to make ends meet. Wouldn't it be nice to be able to get whatever we wanted? Wouldn't it be nice to have peace of mind? Wouldn't it be nice to be like the haves instead of the have-nots? It's the great Australian dream. But did you know making ends meet Australian style often means paying off a gigantic mortgage and not letting the credit card get out of control while we indulge in more and more retail therapy to keep up with the Joneses? It would be nice, wouldn't it, to make ends meet? But friends, have you ever stopped to consider that our making ends meet would be the envy of most other countries in the world? See, according to Business Insider Australia, in July last year, Australia was the 10th richest country in the world based on GDP. We're riding the wave of 25 years of continuous economic growth. And while we could all look around and we'd probably know someone who we're not as well off as, I'd say it's safe to say that most of us here, sitting in our air-conditioned cinema, are better off than the 3 billion people around the world who live on less than $2.50 each day. According to the Global Rich List, if you've got an annual income higher than the Australian tax-free threshold of $18,200, then you're in the top 15% of richest people in the world. That's a pretty staggering statistic, I think. Earlier this year, the Australian National Uni conducted a survey where they found that almost half of all Australians fear that they won't have enough money for a comfortable lifestyle when they retire. They do say that you can never have enough money in super. But for almost 50% of Australians, that's not their fear. They don't fear having too much. They fear being a burden on their family. They fear that the government pension age will be raised. They fear having to keep working for longer. They fear having to go back to work after a couple of years off. They fear not making ends meet. We're rich, but we don't think so. We're rich and we keep wanting more. We're rich, but we have no peace of mind. Chasing the dream of wouldn't it be nice? But friends, Jesus says, seek God's kingdom in heaven instead of treasures on earth and you won't have to worry. Seek God's kingdom in heaven instead of treasures on earth and you won't have to worry, because with treasure in heaven, you'll have God's peace guarding your heart and your mind. And today we're continuing our series called The Promised King as we keep going through Matthew's gospel. We're seeing what it means to follow Jesus in our day and age. And today we're still sitting on the side of a mountain. Like Matt said, we're still going through listening to the most famous sermon ever given as Jesus speaks about the blessings of God's kingdom that are available for anyone who'll put his words into practice. And from the moment that we first gathered around Jesus and we looked for a comfortable place to sit on the grass on the side of the hill, Jesus has been challenging our ability to put his words into practice. He says, be more righteous than the Pharisees. In fact, be as perfect as God. Don't hate, no revenge, love your enemies, no lust. Time and again, we don't put what Jesus says into practice. His words are a challenge for all his disciples to hear. And today, if you've got ears ready to hear, it's no different, because Jesus is taking aim at our hearts through our wallets and our houses and our credit cards and our superannuation. And he doesn't pull any punches, because Jesus says in money and wealth, you're putting your hope in fading, uncertain treasures, treasures that'll wear out over time, that'll corrode and fall apart. Now, most of you guys will know Richard Butler. He's one of our MTN trainees here at church. Richard works down at Cheetham Saltworks during the week, and last weekend we were down there fishing. It was a really disappointing fishing trip. We didn't catch very much, though if you ask Mike, he caught a whopper. But it was disappointing. But as we were leaving, Richard pointed over at one of the sheds down at Cheetham, and he said, you know, if we build anything here out of aluminium, it's just a matter of months before the salt does its work. It's just a matter of months before the salt starts to tear it down and break it apart as the corrosion sets in. Now, not everything in life falls apart quite that quickly. But for everything, there is no stopping the passage of time. Everything breaks down eventually. And that's what Jesus says. But if you're storing up treasure in heaven, Jesus says it can't perish or get lost or misplaced. The famous preacher Charles Spurgeon once said, gold is nothing but dust to a dying man. But to a dying man with treasure in heaven, gold really can't compare. I want you to come and see it all for yourself. Chapter 6, verse 19. Have you got your Bibles there? Jesus says, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, it's funny how enticing money can be. Used to be back in the good old days that it was the glitter of gold and jewels that you'd lock up in a chest that you'd maybe push under your bed. You could pull it out and you could run your fingers through it and you could lift it up and listen to the sounds that all kind of fell back down. You could enjoy that real experience of wealth. I don't know if you've ever actually done it with a handful of coins. It's really quite a nice feeling, just, you know, let it all drop down. But we don't see much cash these days, do we? It's all tap and go. It's pay wave. Even if you get paid, most of your money, your pay gets transferred electronically. It's just a whole bunch of numbers on a computer screen. And yet, even though we can't grab it in the same way today, money is still powerfully attractive. It's that buying power that it gives you. It's the confidence to make ends meet, the confidence to be in control of my own comfort. Money is attractive, but with the attraction comes a trap. Because the more stuff, the more distractions, the more insurance policies, the more locked doors, the more passwords to keep you out, the more warranties. Last week we got a letter from the good guys telling us that our dishwasher, its extended warranty had run out. And so they reminded us that the manufacturer gave us 2 years warranty. Our extended warranty had given us an extra 3. And now for just $121 more, we could have another year. What do we do? They always break down just after the warranty expires, don't they? It's ridiculous. The more stuff, the more distractions, the more worries, the more stuff that you want, the more divided your attention. Now, that's the point of what Jesus says in this next section about your eyes. He's not talking about whether you're nearsighted or farsighted or whether you've got glaucoma or a detached retina. Jesus, in this next bit, is talking about what your eyes are looking at and the effect it has on your heart. Now, the original Greek word translated healthy there in verse 22, it means being single-minded. It means being of one purpose. So he says, if your eyes are single-minded, focused, then your body will be full of light. And while the word here for unhealthy in verse 23, it's the Greek word for evil. If your eyes are evil, and you'll be filled with darkness. It's a word that's used, an expression that's used later in Matthew to describe an envious and covetous heart. So here's what Jesus is saying. I'll tell you and then you can see it. He says, unless you're single-mindedly focused on heaven, then you'll end up with an envious and covetous heart. Have a read of it there in verse 22. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? See, we don't think that we're rich, and we keep wanting more and more stuff. But you've got to seek God's kingdom in heaven instead of treasure on earth, because you can't serve two masters. You can't split yourself in half. You can't direct your eyes in two different ways. You can't completely devote yourself to God while keeping your eyes on all your other things. That's verse 24. No one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So Jesus says, don't even try. Don't think you're the exception who can do it. No one can serve two masters. Don't store up treasures on earth. Store up treasures in heaven. How? By being single-minded. By being focused. Of one purpose, focusing on following Jesus. And that means serving God with what you have, rather than hoarding up riches for yourself. Now, some of us have a little, and some of us have a lot. But it's about whatever you have, putting that to work for God's kingdom rather than using it only to serve yourself. Being generous and hospitable, sharing with people in need. God's been generous to you, so be generous to others. My grandfather had a saying that you can't outgive God. You can't be more generous than God. Now, I've got to say that of what little I know of what people are doing with their money here at church, in terms of giving or elsewhere around the place, from what I hear, people are being really very generous. And that's really encouraging. So I want to say, well done. But you know, the problem with money is that I want to hold on. Now, the problem with stuff is that it becomes too precious to let go. I form a special attachment to it in my heart. And deep within me, there's a little bit of a Pharisee wondering, how much can I have? There's a little Pharisee in me wanting a definition. God has been generous to me. God has given me money and a job and a house and a car. So how much can I keep without storing up treasure on earth? There's that little bit of a Pharisee living in me. Maybe that Pharisee is living in you too. See, our hearts are great deceivers and even easier believers of self-justifying lies. We say that surely Jesus doesn't mean we can't have any nice things. But the problem is we don't easily recognize our own idolatry. And though most of us will happily keep secret what we do with our money, like Jesus says in chapter 6, verse 4, he says, be generous, but in secret. Don't let other people know what you're doing. I reckon it's one of the most avidly obeyed commands of Jesus in the whole Bible by Bible-believing Christians. Keep secret what you do with your money. We're happy to do that. But I wonder how often we use our secrecy to cover up how much we're storing up treasures on earth. Are you being generous with what you've been given? Or are you using it all for yourself? That's a question between you and God. It's really, he's the only person that matters. He's the only one that gets to see what's going on in your heart. Because friends, don't be deceived. What you do with your money doesn't go unnoticed. Because no matter how well you keep it hidden, there's one person who sees. Your unseen Father in heaven sees exactly what you're doing. And even more telling than just knowing the numbers on a page, he gets to see into the motivations of your heart. Now look, I don't want to know all the nitty-gritty about your finances. It's not my place to sit in judgment over you. That's not what I'm trying to do this morning. But I want to ask you, are you being generous? And maybe it would be helpful simply to talk about your finances with another Christian friend. Maybe that would be helpful for you. If you're prepared to be honest about how you're using your money, then you can think together about avoiding the idolatry of wealth. Maybe another thing that might be helpful for you would be to write down everything that you spend so that you can see for yourself where it all goes. Keep a track of what you're buying. Make a list of all that you want and desire so that you can see whether you're seeking God's kingdom in heaven instead of storing up treasures on earth. Because Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I've got to tell you that if your treasure is on earth, then you've chosen a pretty lousy master. Because money and wealth doesn't give you any certainty. It promises much, but it delivers very little. If the recent economic crisis taught us anything, it's that money can be gone overnight. If you've got lots, You're worried about how to keep hold of it. If you've only got a little, then you're worried about how you'll have enough. Money, it's a lousy master. It has you on your knees. But if you seek first God's kingdom, then you won't have to worry. If you store up treasure in heaven, then you won't have to worry either today or about tomorrow. Because listen to what Jesus says, verse 25. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothes? So Jesus knows worry doesn't actually achieve anything. You can worry about these things, but it doesn't add anything to your life. You can sit on the sofa, you can lie in bed awake at night worrying with the weight of the world on your shoulders, but it doesn't add a single hour to the day. That's verse 27. Instead, it saps your life away. It brings the troubles of tomorrow into today. But see, here's the reason why we don't have to worry. Whether you've got a little or got a lot, if you're seeking God's kingdom, then you're seeking the kingdom of a God who knows how to provide. He knows how to provide on a daily basis. See, he provides for the birds of the air, verse 26. They don't sow, they don't build, they don't have big stockpiles of food anywhere. And God feeds them day after day. And can you see Jesus' question there, verse 26? Aren't you much more valuable than them? The answer is yes, infinitely more valuable. And verse 28, see the flowers in the fields? Now my third daughter, Maddie, she can't help seeing the flowers in the fields and on the sidewalk and in other people's gardens. My daughter Maddie, she can't walk past a flower in the field or someone else's garden without picking it. She gazes at it. It's captivating for her, their beauty. But those flowers in the field, they don't labour or spin, and yet God has clothed them in such beauty that they are more splendid than King Solomon himself. God provides beauty for the flowers, though they pass away like a breath. So check out verse 30. Jesus says, if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. For birds, for flowers, and even for you, he's a God who knows how to provide. He knows just what you need. Even before you ask him, he knows. Before you've even framed the question, he's got an answer. Tim Keller says, God will either give us what we ask or give us what we would have asked if we knew everything he knows. It's like what Jesus says here in verse 31. Don't worry saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Friends, we can have confidence. We can be free from worry because God knows how to provide, and he knows exactly what we need at any given time. It may not feel like it some days. You may be wondering just what he is doing. But to seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness means coming and approaching him in dependence, to pray to him with confidence because he'll hear and he'll answer our prayers. In Philippians 4, verse 6, we're told, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So here's the thing that we need to know if we're going to seek God's kingdom and his righteousness. Here's the thing we need to know. It's that God's peace is found for our hearts and our minds in one place only, in Christ Jesus. So we won't treasure too greatly the things that God's given. And we need to know it so that we won't worry when God seems slow to provide. This isn't just the Christian glib version of don't worry, be happy. Jesus isn't just dismissing our deep anxieties and tangible fears. And I'm not trying to downplay the things that you're worrying about today, whether it's money or food or family or health. I'm not trying to downplay those things. But I want you to know that Jesus is calling us to daily dependence. Not to dependence on our wealth, not to dependence on ourself, but to dependence on him. Because the one who says, "Don't store up treasure on earth," is actually the one who is standing on the side of a mountain with nowhere to lay his head. He's the one who gave up the treasures of heaven and came down and walked on this earth. He didn't gather up riches in this life, but instead, with a single-minded act of obedience, he gave us all of his riches. The one who says, "Don't worry," is actually the one who entrusted himself faithfully to his Father in heaven. He entrusted himself even to the point of death. He says, "Don't worry," because he's made it possible for us to share in his righteousness. And that means we can know by his resurrection that our tomorrow has already been secured. We have all the riches of heaven presented before us in Jesus. See, once again, we see that the Sermon on the Mount isn't really about us. It's a reminder of what Jesus has done for us, so that our love for him will grow and our dependence on him will be complete. So we won't treasure this world too greatly, but so that we'll treasure him. You know, if this seems impossible, if this seems pie in the sky, maybe it's time just to give it a go. Maybe it's time to take God at his word and try holding a little bit less tightly to what you own. Focus a little bit less on your super balance and think more on how you can serve Jesus generously with whatever you've been given, whether you've been given or just been given a little or just a lot. Worry less about the right insurance and worry more about your neighbour who needs to hear about the goodness of God's kingdom. See if God delivers. Give it a try. See if God provides what you need. Jesus says, "Seek God's kingdom in heaven instead of treasures on earth and you won't have to worry." It's a truth that the preacher Charles Spurgeon put into practice. By the time he died in 1892, in today's money, he'd earned well over $30 million. He spent, though, his life and his ministry seeking God's kingdom first. He built two churches, paying for them completely himself. He built two orphanages, lots of poor houses and nursing homes. He ran a book fund, a clothing drive, Sunday schools for children and for the disabled. He ran ministries to policemen and to prostitutes, and he funded it all himself. He paid for the construction of a Bible college. He personally covered its ongoing running expenses, and he paid for the total education expenses of his students. He didn't take a salary for the last 40 years of his ministry, and when he died, he had £2,000 to his name, worth more than $30 million. 2,000 He'd spent all the rest serving God with what he'd been given. Depending on God to keep providing. He said, God's provided in the past. He'll do it again in the future. Friends, is that something that you're saying? Is that something you'll do? Seek God's kingdom in heaven instead of treasures on earth, and you won't have to worry. Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning we want to thank you for your word, a word that reminds us again of all the riches that are ours because of the Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that he did not hang on to the treasures of heaven. He didn't consider them to be something to be grasped for his own advantage. But he humbled himself, even to death on a cross. Thank you that by his death and resurrection, he has made it possible for us to enjoy the untold riches of heaven. Father, we pray that you might help us to value them over anything this world has to offer. Please change our hearts so that we might not treasure the things around us, but that we might be generous with all that you've given us, so that we might see others come to be part of your kingdom too. Father, if we've got a lot, help us not to worry how to keep it, but to trust you. If we've got a little, help us not to worry about what we need to get by, but help us to trust you. Because in each and every situation, you are the God who is in control. You are the God who gives and takes away. You are the God who knows what we need before we even ask. Father, we pray that you might help us to seek your kingdom instead of treasures on earth. We pray that we would trust you and not worry. Amen.